Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Alex Molden. Let me give you some background on Alex. He is from Detroit, Michigan, played his college ball at Oregon, where he was named All-Pac-10 in 1994, an All-Pac-10 and an All-American in 95. He was a first-round draft pick, the number 11 overall selection in 1996 by the New Orleans Saints, and played in the NFL from 96 to 2003 for the Saints, Chargers, and Lions. And over the course of his career, he had 296 tackles, 12 interceptions. He forced 5 fumbles and recovered 4 of them. And we're excited that he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Alex, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming on the show.
Welcome, Alex.
Hey, you got it. How you guys doing?
We're fantastic, Alex. How are you?
I'm all right. Can't complain.
Alex, I want to start off our time with you tonight, and I was doing some research on you, and I read that you started off at a very young age participating in track and field at an army base over in Germany, and you were a really great sprinter and a long jumper as well, really going all the way back to when you were 8 or 9 years old. So talk about, you know, growing up, you know, on an army base, doing the things that you did, and how that track helped you translate that into being such a great football player.
Yeah, for sure. No, we started off, I'm originally from Detroit, and I lived in Oklahoma, and, you know, moved out to Germany when I was, I believe, like 8 or 9. It was my first time ever competing in track and field. And, I was just like the other kids, just running, and I love being outdoors and competing. And, I found out, you know, the love that I had for jumping, and come to find out I was pretty good at it. And, you know, it was this one meet that I can remember where, you know, they kept raising the bar and I kept jumping, and I was competing against, you know, this other kid, and I started to leave him in the dust. And then all of a sudden it was just me. And I don't remember how high I was jumping, but it was pretty cool where, you know, a lot of the kids nearby was coming over and they started cheering me on. So from that moment on, I knew I had something, you know, just something a little bit different, and, something, you know, athletically I was, you know, somewhat gifted. And then from there, man, I just, you know, played different sports. I didn't play organized football until I was in eighth grade. And, played for the boys club, which now is the boys and girls club, but back then it was just the boys club. And I was able to do that. And, you know, the reason I did it was, you know, it was free, and, we didn't have a whole bunch of money. So, did that, and we lost every game. We went 0-8, but I loved everything about football. You know, I loved the contact and the competitiveness and, you know, the game planning and the team aspect of it. And, from there, I just kind of, learn more about it. You know, I started, you know, reading encyclopedias to learn more about, you know, the game and the different positions, you know, because they didn't, you know, there was no internet, there was no magazines, you know, my dad didn't, you know, he never played the game. So I just, you know, went to, you know, the, you know, to an encyclopedia. And then one of my good buddies, he ended up having this, he ordered Sports Illustrated. And back then, when you ordered Sports Illustrated, you got this free tape, this videotape, VHS, and it was called Crunch Court. And that changed the game for me. After watching that and watching, you know, they had Walter Payton, they had Lawrence Taylor, they had all type of guys like that in there. And I just knew, like, this is what I wanted to do. I was going to play football no matter what. And from there, just kind of kept learning and kept developing myself, especially in the off season, you know, and I understood how important, like, training was, lifting weight and, working on my athleticism. And yeah, from there, man, just went to University of Oregon and continue to learn and grow and start to build a football IQ, and, you know, was blessed enough to play at the highest level. So in a nutshell, that's, that's me kind of learning, you know, about football and you know, all the gifts that it kind of brought me and my family.
And Alex, as I was looking over some of the things that that you accomplished, I got to imagine one of the things right at the top of the list, you know, I look at your time at Oregon. 92, you guys go to the Independence Bowl to play Wake Forest, and you suffer a devastating knee injury. I mean, tearing your ACL, MCL, and PCL. I mean, everything in your knee.
Yeah.
You had no more L's.
Yeah.
Everything gone. And you make it back less than a year later. 10 months, you're back out on the field playing. Talk about what happened and the determination you had to get all the way back, and not just back to play, but back at an All-American level.
Yeah, well, you know, it was one of those, just a blessing in disguise. And I ended up, yeah, shredding up my knee. And, you know, I was devastated. You know, I just knew that, you know, thinking that was it. I would never be able to play football again. And if I did, I wouldn't be able to play at the same high level. And once I asked the doctor, I said, Doc, you know, I was down. I said, Doc, will I ever be able to play football again, and will I be able to be good? And he looked at me, chuckled. He said, Alex, you're going to come back better, man. And that's all he needed to say. The conviction that he had, the confidence that he spoke with, that's all I needed to hear. And so I proceeded to do everything that the trainers asked me to do. I was blessed to be able to have Coach Jimmy Radcliffe, a world-renowned strength conditioning coach that we had at University of Oregon. And I had a chance to train with him for 1 hour a day, 5 days a week for 8 months straight. And he taught me how to run. You know, I was fast beforehand, but, you know, I never learned the skill of running. And I was able to be able to, you know, to get that skill. You know, he broke it down into bite-sized chunks where I can be able to understand it. And I learned how to be efficient in movement, not just with running, but with jumping and with change of direction. So, you know, I came back 9 months later. Now, I still wasn't the same athlete, but that next year, it was a game changer, because now, you know, because I had to use partial, a third of my patellar tendon. So I often had tendonitis, and that set me back a little bit. But that next year, I was playing at a very high level, and on top of that, I was able to study more film, and like I said, you know, develop a higher football IQ. And so that year, that you know, it was a devastating knee injury. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I was able to use that as a benefit instead of a detriment.
Bob, questions for Alex?
Thanks for so much for joining us, Alex. And I like to ask our guests about their introductions to the NFL. And that 96 Saints team, Alex, I mean, had our good friend Jim Everett on the offensive side. On the defensive side, you had some great veterans like Wayne Martin, who I always thought was so underrated, and Greg Jackson. Any of these guys, especially on the defensive end, that kind of took you under their wing and made your path to the NFL easier?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did have we had a great defensive team, you know, in my years in New Orleans. And, you know, exactly. Wayne Martin was the most underrated defensive tackle that I've ever, you know, had the pleasure to play with or against. And so he was great. But the guys that took me under their wing was the guys in the secondary, Eric Allen and Anthony Newman. And so I've known Anthony Newman for a long time. He's from Portland, and he went to University of Oregon. And so he really, you know, looked after me. Same thing as Eric Allen. They were open books. And also Richard Harvey played outside linebacker for us. He's the one that kind of told me what I needed to do to be a pro, taking care of my body. You know, it's, you know, the food that I ate, you know, massage therapist, acupuncturist, chiropractor. He was the guy that was pointing me in the direction. So, you know, I learned a lot, you know, and, you know, it was very humbling, but it was something that I'm glad that those guys took the time out to, you know, to kind of welcome me to the club and take me underneath their wing.
It was a rough season, Alex. I mean, 3-13, but then of course they made the coaching change. You guys did improve under Ditka the next year. And it was a great coaching staff. You look at some of the names, Del Rio and Tom Moore, Willie Shaw, Venturi, I can keep going. But Ditka especially, and we hope he's feeling better these days. Tell me about the experience playing under him. We've had many guys that done it, and most guys have a lot of respect for the man.
Yeah, I mean, he was a coach that, you know, he demanded a lot. He was hard-nosed, and I respected that from him. You know, I ended up getting in his doghouse my fourth year, so in 1999. And, you know, we had a conversation, and, you know, he always said that there was open-door policy, and so I took advantage of that. And it didn't turn out quite the way I expected, and I ended up asking for a trade, and that backfired, and I stayed with the team. But, you know, I was rarely touching the field that year. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. But I hope he's, you know, feeling better. I hope he's healing up. You know, I hope nothing but the best for him.
And, Alex, to that end, things didn't go all that great for the team under Ditka. And all of a sudden, Jim Haslett comes back to take over. He was a defensive coordinator there when you got in the league your rookie year. He comes back to take over as head coach. And you guys go from 3-13 in 99. To 10-6 and winning the division and a playoff game over the Rams the next year. What was the difference? What led to such a dramatic turnaround?
It was the attitude that he brought. It was the structure, and it was the accountability that he not only placed on us, but that we end up putting on ourselves. And you know, he was our defensive coordinator my rookie year with New Orleans. So, you know, I knew of him and knew of his, you know, his attitude, and, you know, he played the game. And so, you know, you got to respect that. But it was just, you know, we needed that new blood. You know, that was his first time being a head coach. And, you know, we brought in some new talent, you know, some youth. And we took to it. And even though we had injuries that year, our quarterback, Jeff Blake, got banged up, but then Aaron had came in and did a great job for us. Our defense, we was playing at a very high level, and, you know, we needed to, you know, to beat the Rams. You know, they were the Kansas City of that era, and, you know, with the air raid, and they had a great running back, Marshall Faulk. So he really put in a mindset that we can do anything if we play together as a team.
And just a couple more, Alex, before we let you go. And your last season in the league, you get the opportunity to go home to Detroit to play for the Lions. Was it a dream come true, or was it hard?
It was both. It was great. I get a chance to play in front of my grandmother, my you know, my people. But at the time, you know, that was towards the end of my career. I was nicked up. I wasn't the same. And then, you know, coming to a team that was kind of young, you know, especially having Joey Harrington there. And they had something to prove. And it just, the chemistry just wasn't the best. And I would have loved to have played there at another time, but, you know, towards the end of my career, being nicked up, and, you know, it was bittersweet. It was bittersweet for me.
Alex, now you're a motivational speaker. Talk about the clients that you're working with, the things that you like to talk about, and what you want people to walk away with when you're doing a motivational speech.
Yeah. So I've done some inspirational and motivational talks, really geared on teamwork and some of the experiences that I had playing in college and especially playing in the pros, where, you know, the demand is so high, you know, the pressure is high. But, you know, when you come together as a team, and, you know, you know your role and your expectations, and then when you can go above those expectations, still staying aligned, right? Still staying aligned with what the organization has for you. I learned a lot of good things from Coach Willie Shaw, and he was my defensive back coach when I was with the Saints. And he always, you know, he always said and talked about alignment, assignment, and adjustment. You know, make sure you know your alignment so you're not beat before the ball is even snapped. knowing your assignment, right, knowing your job, and then knowing that there's going to be some type of adjustment. So you got to be ahead of the game. You know, you want to be, you don't want to be reactive. And that's the same type of kind of talks that I take, you know, on the road with me when I'm talking to, you know, teams from Microsoft or Nike or the Boys and Girls Club, is kind of giving them that, you know, that same type of feel. And, you know, they enjoy it. They get a lot out of it. You know, I always have them walk away with at least three tips or bullet points that I can take with them. So it's been a lot of fun, and I enjoy what I'm doing now.
And Alex, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with the great things that you're doing and find you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Oh, sure thing. Just on social media, across all, you know, everything social media, just Alex, at Alex Molden. And they can follow me on my website is alexmoldenspeaks.com. And they can find out, you know, some of the things that I'm doing.
Well, Alex, it's been great having you as part of the show tonight. So many other things that we wanted to get into with you. I hope you'll come back and join us again sometime. It's been great having you tonight.
Hey, for sure, man. Anytime I can talk football, especially with some guys that have a passion for it and know what they're talking about, it's, you know, I have fun. I have fun.
Oh, thanks. Great. We really appreciate that very much. Thank you, Alex. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family. We look forward to having you back soon.
Keep in touch.
Excellent. Merry Christmas. I will. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye now.
See you, Alex. That is Alex Molden. All right, we've got our next guest, Keith Millard, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Keith right on the other side of this quick station break.